In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is probably not nearly as big of a problem in our time as it was when I was a child, because when I was a child, we didn't have all kinds of electronic gadgets. We didn't have the ability for kids to watch TV while they were in the car. But when I was a kid, at least, when we would be on a long trip, we would irritate our parents by asking them the question, "Are we there yet?" And we would ask questions like, "How much longer till we get there?" And they'd give us an answer. And then we'd ask 5 or 10 minutes later, "How much longer?" And they'd say, "5 less minutes than the last time you asked the question." Because we were impatient. And of course, being children, we didn't understand how to best occupy our mind with thinking about deep things. We just wanted to go out and play somewhere. And when you're in a confined space, there's only so much that you could do. Well, it's a mark of spiritual immaturity, likewise, for us to be focused on when the end times will be and exactly how all that will work out. Also, when I was a child, the 1970s especially, I remember growing up as a Protestant that we probably heard a sermon on the end times at least once every other week, and sometimes more frequently than that. And there were books that were coming out, movies that would scare the pants off of people about the end times, because people were scared to death about a nuclear war with the Soviet Union and all of that kind of stuff. Well, in our time now, we have some scary stuff that are going on as well, and so we might be tempted to wonder, is it that time? Are we there yet? Well, the disciples asked Christ on a couple of occasions this question. On one occasion, before Christ's passion, they were on the Mount of Olives, and they were admiring the temple. And having been where they were standing, I can tell you that they had an incredible view of where the temple stood, and it was a magnificent temple, and they just thought this was an amazing thing. It was the pride of all Jews, that temple. And Christ told them that the time would come when there would not be one stone left upon another. And so they asked him, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Christ told them, to make a long story short, "It's not for you to know the day or the hour." And then again, after Christ's passion and his resurrection, in Acts chapter 1, they asked him the same question, essentially, just a different way. They said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Maybe they thought, "Well, okay, now you've risen from the dead, so is it that time yet? Are we there yet?" And Christ said, again, "It's not for you to know the time or the season." After they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we don't hear the apostles, at least, asking this question. But the apostle Paul, in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, addressed this question. Because, again, he was dealing with people who were more spiritually immature. And we read this past week on Thursday and Friday, but this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. "But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When he says that they had no need that St. Paul would write unto them, what St. Paul's point was is that he'd already explained to them that this was not for them to know. They could know the signs of the times, but they couldn't know the day or the hour, because that was not given to us. That's not revealed to us. When a woman's pregnant, she knows that she's going to have a child. She doesn't know when she's going to have that child. And sometimes women are caught in labor very unexpectedly. And once that labor comes hard upon them, there's not much they can do at that point. It's on them, and they're going to have that child. And likewise, what St. Paul is saying is that when the end times come, it's going to come suddenly. And upon those that are not prepared for it, it'll be a surprise. It'll be like a thief in the night, and there's nothing that they'll be able to do about it at that point. There'll be no escape. But the point is that for us, it shouldn't come as a thief in the night. It shouldn't come as any surprise. He goes on to say, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The thief does his work in the dark. But if you're children of light, then that darkness gives no occasion for that thief to come and to steal from you." How does one become a child of the day? Well, one becomes a child of the day by living the life of righteousness through faith in Christ. And how does one become a child of darkness? By living a life darkened by sin and disobedience, by living a life of selfishness. The point is not that if we become children of light that we'll then be able to know when that day will be, or that we'll be able to pin the tail on the Antichrist when he comes, but that we'll be ready for it when it happens. There'll never be anything that will be unexpected to us, because we'll always be prepared. For those who are in spiritual darkness, that time will be a calamity, a day of doom. But for believers, it is, as St. Paul says elsewhere, our blessed hope. Focusing on predicting how or when the end times will come about is an unhealthy spiritual distraction. But if we're ready for it at all times, then we'll know what to do. If we knew when the end would happen, we would probably live carelessly in the meantime. If we knew that exactly 10 years from now the world would come to an end, we would probably think, well, I've got 10 years, I don't need to worry about it until maybe the ninth year and about the 12th month. But the problem is the end of the world could come to any one of us at any time when we die, because that will be it. So we don't know when will be our last moment to repent. And so this is why God doesn't reveal these things to us. Then it goes on to say, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Faith, hope, and love are our spiritual armor. In the second epistle reading, we heard more fully about what St. Paul describes as our spiritual armor, but here we hear it alluded to very briefly. But it's our faith in God that is our strength and our defense. It's our hope and salvation that protects us, and it's our love for God and our love for one another that is our strength. And then it goes on to say, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. If we are children of the light, we need not fear. It's not the wrath of God that awaits us, whatever comes our way, however the end times pan out, whether we live to see the Antichrist and the final tribulation as it's described in the book of Revelation or not. We know that at the end of all of that, what awaits for us is salvation. And whether we live or whether we die, whether we die and it takes 10,000 more years for Christ to come, or whether tomorrow Christ returns, we know that we will live with him forever. And then the section ends with this verse, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. This could also be translated, wherefore encourage yourselves together and build up one another, even as ye also do. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know what life may bring us. We don't know what tragedies may come tomorrow, what triumphs tomorrow will hold. But we do have each other. And what we are supposed to be doing is encouraging each other and comforting those who sorrow and building up those who are weak or beaten down. Unfortunately, St. Paul says, as you also do, but I think most of us, if we've been in church for very long, we've seen that in too many cases, this is not what actually happens. Instead of encouraging one another, we will criticize one another. We'll cut each other down. Instead of building each other up, we'll make people feel small and unimportant. But that's not how we're supposed to be as Christians. This should be a place where we come, and it's a safe harbor. It's a place where we come and we experience the love and the warmth of a family. We experience the encouragement that elsewhere in life we don't get. Because we live in very difficult times. And we need the strength and the love and the comfort that we get from one another to be able to face those times. And so that's what we need to be focused on, not how everything will pan out, not who is the Antichrist. It's important for us to study what the Scriptures actually reveal to us, but to have an inordinate focus on this is spiritually unhealthy. So what we need to do is to work to make this parish a safe haven, a safe harbor where people find the faith and hope and love that they will need to be able to face this life, where people can expect to be encouraged, strengthened, and edified, so that we may all become children of the light, always prepared for the worst this world might bring, but keeping our eyes on Christ, our blessed hope. Amen.